producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We'd like to remind you we have a second radio show called After the Paracast, and we present it only for those of you who subscribe to the Paracast Plus. To learn more, check out plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We also offer the ad-free version of this show, higher quality audio, videos coming, show transcripts, and a lot more for modest fees. Check it out, plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. With Gene and Chris, we're talking to Eric Willett. The book is called Illuminations. Chris?
Eric, you were starting to talk about how, and this is something that's been pointed out before, Jacques Vallée, I think most notably, pointed out that these paranormal-esque type of phenomenon tend to mimic the technology of the times, and that would be a real, I think, good piece of evidence to suggest that what we're looking at is there's some sort of unconscious social element at work here. Words used to describe events back in ancient times were couched in the vernacular of the times, and as you pointed out, in the 21st century now we have high-tech objects seemingly flitting about our airspace. Another thing that you point out, too, in hauntings is that the older the haunting, older hauntings tend to exhibit manifestations within a fairly static environment. In other words, in particular places, the history of the place tends to almost it seemingly perpetuate the types of effects that are seen. A good example that you don't point out, but I remember, is the shriek of a banshee means the death in the O'Connell, O'Brien, Kavanaugh, and I think a couple of other families, but only in those families. You know, when you hear the banshee wail, if you're an O'Brien like me, you better watch your back. Why don't you explain how that could be possible and what the implications are?
Okay, there's a parapsychologist who studied a little bit these things. His name is Nandor Fodor, who talked about the gestalt, is the word he uses, a fancy word, of families, that somehow, because people talk in family and from generation to generations, ideas, concepts, perceptions are communicated, but also the beliefs that comes with it in the and so if in a family the belief of something chasing them, let's say, is well entrenched and is passed from one generation to another, then if there are psi effect created by the unconscious mind, that conscious mind will go and seek out from sources that are in your mind. And so if this belief that there are some forces are chasing especially your family, and that belief is strong from one generation to the next, then definitely the probabilities that across time the same kind of anomalies will show up in a particular family, because people share that from one generation to the next.
Well, that dovetails nicely into the whole idea of social psi effects, and the Fodor description is a good one, but there have been actually some parapsychological experiments that were undertaken in the 60s and 70s that really, I think, were dramatically able to show how this particular, as you put it, I think, impersonal effects can be manifested by a group of people. Let's talk about the Sparrow experiments, and also Kenneth Batchelder, who conducted a similar experiment.
Yes, there's been experiments with groups of people. One of them is called the Philip experiment, done in the early 70s, where a group of people voluntarily decided to create an artificial ghost. And so they met, they use all kinds of techniques to try to get their unconscious free and liberated. And eventually they started to notice psychokinetic effects, mostly knocking on a table. And they were apparently able to lift the table out of on only one leg. So all the three other legs were lifting. And they were just touching gently the top of the table. So the thing is that one of the conclusion of these people is that there seems to be strength in people, also when it comes to psi effects. Another researcher, as you mentioned, Bastien Dore, did seance with groups, so like they were doing in the 19th century, but he took a different approach, right, again, to get people to, again, to relax, to have a good time, but also ultimately to liberate their unconscious, so to go and be free, and believing they can actually do things and affect the reality around them. And they were actually able to have an influence on lightnings, the lights in the building where they were, almost at will, or they were very often able to do it, which shows, again, that there seems to be some strength in number, which leads me then to think that might be if we have a million people having the same unconscious challenges or worries or and they cannot really express it because they don't know what's going to happen, well, maybe we have a situation where there's a lot of psi energy available for a big scale anomaly to occur. That's one of the key ideas I'm proposing in the book.
Yeah, and that's an important one, because if this can dovetail into the unconscious mind of a group, then, you know, all bets are off. I mean, anything's possible in that scenario. And, of course, Dean Radin is famous for establishing scientifically that the human body responds to stimuli before the stimuli arrives in many cases. And that in itself, I think, that time dilation idea could possibly be applied to, you know, times of social upheaval, people being in a state of uncertainty and possibly in a state of fear, and how collectively this could manifest itself in a variety of ways that would appear anomalous to them because they're consciously not aware of it. Now, you know, you discuss these experiments. Those were almost ritualistic in a way, in that the participants were conscious and attempting to elicit some sort of group effects, if you will. But let's talk about the continue talking about the unconscious potential for manifestation of you know, inexplicable events.
Yeah, well, this idea of the social psi or the social socially shared unconscious. The thing is that I have no hard proof, but I see a lot of correlations or circumstantial evidence linked to UFO waves in this regard. One of them is the famous UFO wave of 1954 in France. It was mostly in France, not all in France, but mostly. The peak of that event occurred also at the very same time where back in Algeria, which was a French colony, insurgents were actually decided to launch a long-lasting insurgency against France. Nobody really knew about this in 1954, but it's interesting to know that these two events coincided at the same time. It's as if, and for our American listeners, the war in Algeria for France was a catastrophe, I mean, of epic proportion. There was over a million European living in Algeria. And when the French government gave the independence to the country, they had to leave right away and move to France. Otherwise, they would have been lynched by the Algerian. It left scars in the society. I mean, it was as bad as Vietnam. And yet, so that event, those two events, the peak of the UFO wave and the formation of the insurgent groups, coincide at the exact same time. And so that tells me that maybe collectively somehow there is this unconscious feeling or premonition that was something bad really was happening. But people could not know what it was, again, and that the language of the unconscious that is so symbolic was the language of using perceptions of objects in the sky, whether they were real or not. That's probably a mix of all kinds of things. But that's an example that the social unconscious somehow warned us of something upcoming But like in most situations, it's very hard to decipher.
Let's decipher this, folks. You have Gene and Chris. More to come with Eric Ouellette. You're in
the Paracast. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Today, more than ever, it's imperative that you protect your digital privacy. EDEC Digital Forensics Signal Blocking Anti-Radiation Anti-Surveillance Faraday Bags shield the contents of your phones, tablets, and key fobs from 4G, Wi-Fi, GPS, Bluetooth, NFC, and more. Find us at edecdf.com/radio or call us now at 805-222-4584. That's 805-222-4584. Radio listeners get 20% off your order.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Eric Ouellette joining us, author of Illuminations. Chris?
Okay, Eric, continue. I think this is a good example that you were referring to before. How does this dovetail into you know, where's the connecting point between, let's say, a focus person in a poltergeist case and trying to identify where a focus person is located in a UFO wave, for instance? You know, do you think it was a collective, as you were mentioning the Algerian uprising, and then the corresponding straight line mystery, I think, as Amy Michelle famously coined it in his book, which I, again, highly recommend. UFOs and the Straight Line Mystery is a seminal work. It's hard to find, but if you find a copy, grab it. Continue your sort of correlation between the two events, and then give us other examples. I think the Washington Wave would be a possible example that had the same kind of social unease surrounding, I think, the McCarthy hearings and the rise of Russia as a superpower and, you know, a nuclear adversary and that sort of thing.
Yes, the example of the 1952 UFO wave over Washington D.C. has the same kind of bell curve that von Lukedu described. You know, the first weekend that they saw something. So people were surprised. The controllers didn't know what to make of it. But we didn't know what it was, but it started kind of gently. And then, the second weekend, now the press was there, and all the sensationalist people interested in talking about aliens from outer space were involved at that point, so the naive observers. And the UFO gave a pretty good show that second weekend. Air Force sent jets, they could not catch anything, they couldn't see anything, and yet there weren't radars. And then, next step was the arrival of the Blue Book people and other defense officials saying, no, this is, you're wrong. This is all kinds of turmoil, inversion, and other things, which were probably in many instances correct, but not in all of them. And then, so the UFO wave that was going on in the U.S. at the time and over Washington in general started to decline at that point. And then we had the commission, Robertson Commission, that tried to put a lid on this. Like, we the U.S. military, are tired of getting civilian reports about all these things, so we need to do something about it because we have other more important things to do. So that was the bell curve. But if we look at it more carefully, the peak of the two weekends, the peak, happened the same time as the Democratic Convention that was going on in Chicago. There was a time of McCarthyism. It was almost at its height. And, of course, Washington, D.C. is the land of civil servants, you know, federal civil servants, who were the main targets of McCarthy, who was seeing communists everywhere. So you have a group of people that were oppressed by the situation, and yet, because they're civil servants, they cannot speak publicly about what's going on. So they were kind of muted. So very similar to a person that is in a classic poltergeist. Psychological trauma and yet unable to speak. Interestingly, because it happened the same time as the Democratic Convention, and because it got the military involved, it's interesting to note that the ones who were fighting McCarthy were the Democrats at the time. And eventually, two years later, it's the military that stood up firm to McCarthy and put an end to his witch hunt. So it's interesting that, again, we have the key ingredients that are quite similar to the ones would happen in a classic family poltergeist.
Well, you also have concurrent sightings around military installations, as you point out, in South Korea, Okinawa, Greenland, Newfoundland, West Germany. I think this is during the time period where Gordon Cooper chased after UFOs in a fighter jet while he was in the Air Force. So this is something that I wasn't aware of, that the U.S. military installations in the before-mentioned countries also had sightings. Explain the connection there, because you don't have your geographic sort of, you know, proximity to the potential social angst, collective social unconscious angst or fear or uncertainty. What would explain these upwelling of reports in such, you know, far-flung places?
I think in the case of the it's what we would call a reporting effect. We have to remember that in the early 50s, and actually still true today, by the way, the ones who have real good quality radars, it's always the military. Their radars are superior to civilian radars, and it's always true. So that's one thing, that they would be the first to see it anyway if it's on radar. The second aspect to it is that because, you know, it was the middle of the Cold War, they were watching the sky way more, even if just with binoculars and sensitive installations, because they were quite worried of a sneak Soviet attack. So, again, if someone reports something in the sky, it's because they were looking more. So that's another aspect. The last aspect is that in the early 50s, the U.S. military was not too sure what to make of UFOs still. They were pretty sure there was nothing to it, but they were still wondering. And so they were having a reporting system to see what's going on. And so we have a lot of data because they were actually compiling them. But that doesn't mean that the phenomena was necessarily more intensely focusing on the military if we look outside Washington. I think it's maybe a reporting effect.
Well, another example that kind of springs to mind that you don't mention in the book is the Swedish ghost rockets of 1947. Of course, you have your elements of rockets, which instilled fear in nations that were at the end of the trajectory. You have the uncertainty of Russia becoming now a much bigger superpower than they were prior to World War II. And then you have the symbol of, again, of the rocket, which people equated to the V2 rocket, obviously, which devastated parts of London. So we have those same sort of social kind of unease, I guess, fear, uncertainty. How much of that ghost rocket phenomenon do you feel was, possibly psychological in nature versus, potential hardware?
It's an interesting case. The thing is that in 1946 and 7, there were still no rockets that could be going that far from the Soviet held territory in Eastern Europe. So that's why a lot of people are saying that nothing happened. Maybe there was something else. Maybe there were earth lights, or I don't know. But what is interesting is, as you mentioned, is that people saw and interpreted what they saw as being rockets, even though they were not understanding that technology was not that advanced at that time. But they were certainly well aware of what happened during the bombing of London with the V2. So, yes, absolutely. People draw images and knowledge based on what they know, and then they project it to things. But Sweden was in a very tough position at the time, and interestingly, that's around the same time where the Swedish government was seriously thinking about launching its own nuclear research program, which they started, but then given the cost involved, they stopped.
Okay, we have Eric Ouellet and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX, that's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's A Place for Answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Greetings, Phenomenal Ones. This is Dr. Jeremiah C. Hackley of Phenomenal Center. I want to invite you to the Phenomenal Health and Healing Conference in the city of Knoxville, February the 7th and the 8th. We have coming Dr. Joel Wallach. He is a two-time Nobel Prize nominee, the Humanitarian Award winner for natural medicine, featured at the United Nations, and have 75 peer-reviewed published in health journals. Dr. Wallach has an answer for you. Call us right now. We only have 100 seats. 865-851-7269. Health is not a matter of chance, but it is a matter of choice. Call us right now. 865-851-7269.
Hi, this is James Fox from Chasing UFOs. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So Eric Wellett is telling us about Sweden considering their own nuclear program. Tell me more.
Well, Sweden, they face a situation that they wanted to remain neutral, and they did not want to be involved in the Cold War. And definitely the nuclear weapons was becoming the key, the game changer in all this. The actual work started later in the 50s and it stopped some in the early 60s in their nuclear program. But it shows the level of worries they had that they felt at the time that the only way to protect themselves is to be a nuclear power. I mean, a small one, but still a nuclear power. It shows at least that this level of anxiety that was lived at the time by people in that part of the world.
I think we just had a ghost rocket fly by. We've been discussing UFO waves and also how they correlate to some haunting cases. And there seems to be a bell curve. Let's discuss that bell curve in a little bit more detail. Phase one, as you describe it, is surprise. Phase two is displacement. Phase three is decline. And then phase four is suppression. And that accurately reflects a bell curve on a graph. Let's look at these quickly one by one and show how they're integral in continuing that bell curve through its entire cycle. Phase one, surprise.
Yeah, the surprise is that most paranormal events, and so I'll pick a number of them, but ghost hauntings, poltergeists, and I would say UFO waves, they start very gently, and there's a few sightings here there, and then it starts to build up a little bit bigger. What happened at that time is that there are key people who see these things. And they are a witness of that, but they don't really know what it is. So, again, at that point, unconsciously, they may feel there's something paranormal about it or weird, but they don't really know what it is. And that's the time where it's still not a major event. And again, the theory is that this is the unconscious strength of the people that will determine the intensity of the phenomena. At the surprise phase, at least in the classic poltergeist case, the focus person, the person that seems to be around the phenomena, is also not too sure what's going on. The family around the person is not sure if the individual in question is involved. So there's a lot of unknown, and that's the UFO wave. If you think of another example from the book, is the Belgian UFO wave. In the first few weeks or the first few days, they don't know what's going on. I'm not sure what's going on, but it seems to be something weird. So that's the surprise phase. If we move to the next phase, that's really where there are people who come along that are true believers in either ghosts or spirit causing poltergeists or ETH. So they truly believe that UFOs are caused by aliens from outer space. And they put a lot of inject into what people think. In a classic poltergeist case, you will have the ghost hunters or the house clearing people will come, and actually by their very presence, they actually confirm the beliefs of the people living in the house that there is an evil spirit in their house, which actually just reinforce the intensity of the belief. And guess what? The intensity of the phenomenon is also increasing. And same thing we have with UFO is that when you have the ETH ufologists, especially the not so sophisticated ones arriving on the scene, they are just pushing this idea further that, yeah, aliens are coming. And then a lot of people start to interpret things around them that way. And usually in the UFO wave, then the phenomena start to intensify itself. There's way more sightings, and the sightings becoming more and more exotic in nature. Again, the Belgian UFO wave, there is a key organization that was involved, the SOBEP. First-class ufologists, by the way, they're very level-headed people, and they did a very good job in gathering data. So I have to give them kudos. They're 100%. However, they're believers in ETH. And so as they come to get the cases and do press conferences, they project that idea that indeed there is some visitors. They focus a lot on the triangular types of object, even though there was only 50% of observations that were about triangular objects. But they created that mood, that intensity, that there's something real going on. And then, of course, you have the intensity going up. Then the phase of decline is really the one, because as events get known, that there are people much more skeptical coming along. In the classic of poltergeist, you will... it could be just police officers, or it could be parapsychologists, but they start to ask questions, a lot of questions. How many witnesses? You know, what do you really saw? Can I check and be there if to see things? And that's where it starts to decline, because these people, we think, are by their very attitude, removes the belief that this is actually what's going on. And then the phenomenon declines at that point. And then here, in the case of UFOs, interestingly, if you compare Washington, 1952, the military authorities and government authorities were really sending that signal. There's nothing going on. In Belgium...
Excuse me, is that why we had these spectacular sightings early on, but it doesn't seem as if the UFO events of the present day are anywhere near as elaborate?
True. That's a good question. Some people are talking about the decline in UFOs because maybe there's a decline in interests and beliefs in UFOs.
No, the aliens went home.
That's another explanation. Unfortunately, we should ask them if it's true. And so far, no answer.
Yeah, all you abductees out there, please, next time you get taken aboard, ask your abductors, how many of them are still around, and how come there doesn't seem to be as many?
Yeah, no, and it's a very good point you're making, because over time, I would say the principal anomalistic phenomena changes with. So 100 years ago, it was the medium in a seance. 100 years before was the ghost, the classic ghost. It has been UFOs for part of the 20th century. And for the 21st century, we may have another dominant paranormal phenomena that would be completely different. I don't know.
Yeah, it would be Dick Cheney cloned and being seen in simultaneous places all over the world. In like the attack of the 50-foot woman, you know, these giant Dick Cheneys, you know, rampaging through cities like Godzilla.
Maybe. I don't think it would be that ostentatious, though.
I'm trying to lighten up the mood here just a hair.
Okay, so what is the event of the 21st century? So far, it's still UFOs.
Yeah, let's do some conjecturing here. What would be a good what-if scenario that could show how this whole sort of psychosocial manifested phenomena could be progressing forward in time? What would be a good one for the 21st century? Some sort of disease, plague, that sort of thing, or AI, of course, computers, robots taking over.
Well, I think that the object we should look at is what makes people concerned. Is there some tensions in the world that concerns a vast majority of the population, or a good chunk of it, on an ongoing basis? I mean, the Cold War and the UFO, it's the match is almost perfect. But now we are in post-Cold War world. People are worried about terrorism to some degree. They are worried about the environment to another degree. It's hard to say.
Let's explain this further in our next segment. With Gene and Chris and Eric Ouellette, you're in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. Blockitpocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at Blockitpocket.com or call 888-315-9618. Blockitpocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes. I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
so you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, so what is the next phenomenon?
Zombies.
Zombies? Oh, yes, yeah, zombies are taking over.
I don't think there is any, maybe I'm ignorant because I didn't really study that in depth, but I don't think there is real reports of zombie attacks. Am I wrong?
Yeah, just go to Vegas or just walk around any American city and you'll see a lot of zombies walking around in a state of waking coma, no question about it.
Well, those are the people who watch certain cable TV networks.
Okay, yeah, there might be some fashions of people taking some habits of doing certain things, but I probably not see it as terribly paranormal.
Exactly.
However, there is something along those lines that I've heard enough from a number of sources, but it's still early days of this. So some people talk about shadow people, which is a variation of the concept of a ghost.
Yes, but black-eyed children.
Yeah, and that's something that people see in the corner of their eye, so it's really open to all kinds of interpretation. But what makes it, I would say, maybe the next one is that it seems to be becoming a shared way of describing events. So it seems to be a lot of countries, a lot of cities where people have these reports, probably because before they didn't pay any attention to that because there's some natural in biological aspects to it. But as it becomes part of a new belief that they might be shadow people, then they might, again, the unconscious might actually use that as a vehicle to project some psi effects. And then so then the shadow people will be a little bit more real in the sense that the unconscious is more actively engaged in using that for communicating.
Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I do think that we're seeing a what appears to be a decline in alleged reports or alleged encounters with, especially with aliens. The abduction phenomenon seems to be, fading out a little bit. We may be in the decline stage in that regard. We're also seeing that UFOs are tending to stay further away from witnesses. You have less close proximity cases now, as opposed to, in the 70s, 80s, 90s would be the last real period when a fairly dramatic number of close encounter cases were reported. Why do you think that is? Well, why do you think UFOs are staying further away? Because our increased level of technology is maybe putting them at risk of being detected and possibly identified? Or is it that they just don't need to get close anymore? They've, gained all the information they need in this symbiotic relationship with the culture. And now they're just out there to, dance around and entertain us and give grist for the Internet or something.
There's two lines of explanations I think we can look at, and that they're not mutually exclusive. One of them is, like you mentioned, is that there's more knowledge and understanding of what's going on in the sky. I mean, in 1950s, to see jetliners was something fairly new for a lot of people. Today, it's a totally mundane event. I mean, people see jetliners in the sky all the time. So maybe there's more awareness of what is a natural event or human-made event compared to the past. So because of that, then there's less interpretation linked to UFO as spacecraft from another world. That's one portion of it. The other one, I think this one is maybe more controversial, but I will say it. I think that ufologists, especially in the 1980s and 90s, were really, personally, I find it was an era completely delusional. People coming up with completely unfounded facts, unproven anything, and yet making big statements about aliens invading the Earth and huge, gigantic conspiracies. And this actually, I think, had an effect is that the population in general got just sick of it. And the whole conspiracy / alien perspective declined very significantly in people's consciousness, because it seems to be they reach a level of absurdity so great that people gave up and lost interest.
I kind of have to disagree somewhat. I think we're seeing more and more people diving deeper and deeper into delusion. I think there's millions of people out there that have been affected very deeply on a subconscious level into believing that aliens, Lyrians, Dracos, Zeta Reticulans. I mean, these terms are bounced around on the Internet, and millions of people are buying into this stuff. People like David Wilcock and this new guy, Corey Good. Oh, yeah, I've been to Mars. Yeah, there's intergalactic war going on. This stuff is being taken at face value by a lot of people, whereas back in the 80s and 90s, people were a lot more, I think, circumspect and just more dubious. And I see the opposite going on. I really think that there's a subculture growing that is actually almost viewing these fantastical, delusional claims in a quasi-religious sense. I almost see it as religious belief, that people have suspended their disbelief and believe they're eating the body and blood of an alien as opposed to the Christian Mass or the Catholic Mass.
If we watch the TV show Supergirl, they have a character called the Martian Manhunter. So you see, we therefore have Martians, but that's, of course, based on the comic books.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, but I'm talking about the population in general. I agree with you. There is a minority that is probably getting even deeper, and that's not the word. The hypothesis in ETH is not warranted. It should be a pure belief system. So this is there for sure. But one of the indicators would be the success of the second series of X-Files. I mean, it was very successful in the 1990s because it was touching a chord. If the show fails now, like 20 years later, I think it will be, failing in the sense of not being as popular as it was. Might be an indicator that, yeah, people moved on from those things. I mean, the majority of the population. So that's what I mean here.
Well, I understand also that fewer people watch network TV anymore. So you could have half the ratings and still be successful. The first three episodes were relatively successful.
Yes, again, like I said, it's controversial what I'm saying. There's measures of success, but this issue is how these conspiracy theories in general, in the population in general, have I would say a level of acceptance now compared to then. I think it's less now than then, but I could be wrong.
Well, the overarching theory now in X-Files is that it's not E.T. who's involved, but the government using alien technology to engage in its stuff.
Yes, and though the people who make those shows, they make it to sell, right? So they have a good pulse of what people are looking for. And that, I think that actually speaks volume of my controversial theory here.
Another thing I want to point out also is that kids that have been growing up in the last 20 years, for instance, 25 years, have been, you know, totally saturated by the concept of aliens coming here from another planet. And it's almost like part of their reality. It's almost part of the belief system that's sort of built in. They almost accepted it at face value without even really thinking about it or without it really moving them in any direction, negative or positive. You ask the average 15 or 20-year-old, you know, what do you think UFOs are? And they all think it's aliens. I think the media in general has indoctrinated people into belief in the ETH. I think that may be by design on some level, whether it's conscious or unconscious, on part of the powers that be, who control the media, who control, you know, the actual dissemination of propaganda and culture. I think in some part it may be to hide secret technology, that there's a good chance that this is very convenient to, you know, create a, you know, sort of an atmosphere of plausible deniability by the government. And so I think it's almost become accepted as opposed to being rejected, at least in this country. You know, I think it's a lot more commonplace in terms of people's thinking that these things are real and that the ETH is you know, obviously the most popular theory behind to explain it.
I am not sure about that. I agree with you that the view that UFOs are considered a spaceship from another world is a very wide distributed views. But what I'm talking about here is that people paying really attention to that, much less, I think.
We have Eric Ouellette. The book is called Illuminations. That's not E.T. with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.